Keen Manning's back in studio with another interesting tale from the past. And yeah, I have to say, we love the stories he brings us.
We love them. We love the enjoyment they actually bring us. When the mic is down, that's all I'm telling you, is you have no idea what goes on here.
And the Waterford connections.
The Waterford connections. We love the drama. We love the gossip, Keen.
Mm. Yeah, and it's kind of, I'm trying to expand my vocabulary now as well. Today's one is looking at the African Roscius.
Ooh.
Is where I've tried to get the pronunciation. So apparently Roscius was a famous Roman actor.
Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye.
Yeah, so we had plenty of drama last week. So this week we actually have a proper theatrical story.
Right.
In Waterford. So we're kind of going back to the 1830s, around 1835. And at that stage, previous couple of decades, there's been a huge decline in theatrical performances across Ireland, but particularly in Waterford. So it's essentially dead, would be the easiest way to put it.
No gig guide,
Wayne Brown.
No.
We'll talk
COVID was tough.
This was tough. Nothing in comparison to this.
Nothing. So there's a man called Frank Seymour. He sets up a company to try and kind of spark a revival. He develops a performance venue at Bolton Street, which he calls the New Theatre Royal.
Ooh.
Right.
So a lot of people call it the New Theatre as well. So a lot of the adverts note it as the New Theatre Royal. And it opens on the 11th of February, 1835. I don't know if either of you have heard of these plays, but one was called The Mountaineers and the other was The Irish Tutor.
Okay.
I have to say, you have me there.
No, they don't ring a bell for me either.
I don't think we'd see Paul Mescal in a revival.
Well, now, Keane, anything is possible.
True. These were kind of like the precursor, kind of the starter to the real main course of the African Roscius. And that man's name is Ira Aldridge.
That's a great name.
Yeah, so he's, when you're looking at sort of Shakespearean theatre, this individual is like one of the great pioneers. He's an African-American actor who actually makes it in England and is seen as like a pioneer for particularly Othello he's associated with.
Mm.
So you probably both know like Paul Robeson.
Indeed. One of my favourites.
Yeah, so he's seen as like kind of the man that led the pathway for figures like Paul Robeson.
That's
perform.
A big deal in itself now.
Well, it is. Yeah. An Aldridge. I mean, that wouldn't typically be an African-American surname.
No.
There's like a lot of Aldridges in the city here.
Yeah, like even I was just looking there, he was born in New York on the 24th of July. 1807. So like obviously the metropolis that is, you have such a melting pot of cultures and stuff. Remarkably, he just gets into the arts, into theatre, but probably sort of reflective in the times we live in now. There was a lot of discrimination going on, and remarkably he decided to try his lot the other side of the Atlantic, and he actually ends up in Coventry. He becomes the manager of the Coventry's Theatre Royal. There's a lot of originality in naming theatres.
I was just going to say.
Back then. But he's a big advocate for the abolition of slavery. Very principled individual too. Mm. It's no surprise really when you look at he had a memoir published in the 19th century, and it carries the Shakespearean inscription, "Mislike me not for my complexion, the shadowed livery of the burnished sun."
Wow.
So I suppose it goes to like Martin Luther King, isn't it? Like content of your character. So you can obviously see he was such a big draw then that, you know, if you were going to start a revival of theatre anywhere, he was going to be the right figure. So he has kind of like a little mini tour of Ireland in 1835. He's in Carrick and Shore in January. He performs there. My favourite one, though, is he performs in Thomastown, kind of in like an assembled gathering of the well-to-do there. And we actually have a wonderful review of that performance that he depicted, his depiction of Othello killing Desdemona. So that's a spoiler alert there.
You had to do it, didn't you? Oh my God.
So you can forget that after this. But apparently it was so realistic that it actually caused a woman to faint in the crowd.
Oh,
well,
I
do declare. Way before, we're probably not like that, but I, but like well before AI now and all that, you know, he was, he was a powerful individual.
Well, Desdemona.
Yeah, it's been intense, like, so then when he makes his bow in Waterford, it's actually Saturday the 28th of February, and he performs as Othello again. But it's real interesting, the Waterford Mail have a review, and it's kind of a mixed review. They kind of think that he's a little bit quiet, maybe mumbles in part. I just took out the positive part of the review, because sometimes we don't know the bias that some viewers may have. Never happened in Waterford, of course.
Of course not.
But they wrote, "His fine person, full voice and graceful deportment at once interesting the audience in his behalf." So
he was a real presence.
Yeah,
I feel like you left a lot out there.
Yeah, I did. I'd say there's about another three paragraphs that criticised them about it. But we know that he performed about six times at the New Theatre Royal. So very impressive. And he actually came back to this neck of the woods in the 1850s. There was a little bit of a scandal scandal in England. So
a little bit of a scandal.
A little bit of a scandal.
We won't tell anyone.
Again, this is omitted for Netflix. I think it was something to do with the legitimacy of a child born outside of marriage, and he decided to
up sticks and move.
Yeah,
he did not
wait for the heat to.
Well, look, it mightn't have been anything at all.
But did he support this child? Like, look, I'm getting irate on someone's behalf
here. It mightn't have been his child.
But it might have been. And that's good enough.
What happened to innocent until proven guilty?
Well, if I'm not going to go into it, it's a family show.
It's the perfect drama,
isn't it? Oh, drama every day. Let me tell you, Keane. Well, another fascinating story, right enough, and someone that we had never heard of before.
And weird. So the New Theatre Royal in Bolton Street. What
became of it?
I presume it's kind of like we're talking about, like, the area that's obviously where the car park is now.
Do we know if there was such a substantial building? Or
Seymour kind of had like a touring company as well, so he's well associated like with Limerick. And actually a thing I omitted to mention there, kind of another sort of tangential Waterford connection with Ira Aldridge, was that when he originally went to England, he took the name Keane as his performing, like K-E-A-N, as in Charles Keane and Edmund Keane. So obviously a strong Waterford connection there as well.
Interesting.
But even just talking about like kind of political, topical plays, he performed, this is the name I'm going to murder now, Orinoco.
Written by Enya.
She originated it.
Yeah. Now, Enya's around a long time.
She is, yeah.
But it was apparently about like this African prince that is taken as a slave. And I think in one version of the play, they're brought to like Haiti or something. And it sort of looks at the idea of how one person's royalty can be another person's slave.
Oh.
Which I imagine would have been very interesting watching, considering the audiences at the time. And again, probably as relevant today as
I would say.
Keane Manning, thank you so very much as always for another inspiring chapter of history and letting us know about something that
and
we should know about.
If you missed anything this week or indeed last week, you can listen back on WLORFM.com under the podcast section of the Big Breakfast Blah.
Oh, that scandal is there. Thank you so much.